Bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. Amen. When your soul is troubled, He's the bridge over troubled waters. I'm glad tonight I have a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and our griefs to bear. What a privilege we have just to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Several years ago, we had a youth day at Victory, and I had several friends come from Indianapolis, friends that I grew up with, and they wanted to play a broom game. It made no sense to me. One of them stood up with this broom, and he was coughing, and I'm like, what is he doing? My wife said, what in the world? Is that like an Indiana thing? And I said, Lord, I hope not. If so, I'm glad that we're gone. My point is this. If you're here and you're lost, I know nobody's heart. But you need very clear directions on what you must do. I want to speak very clearly, very openly. That's how Jesus spoke. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Got in a hotel last night and had a good time. There's a blind convention in town, and I got to meet with a lot of neat people. Had a good time. But I got to praying for those of you who are not saved and do not know where you stand with the Lord, because you're in much worse shape than they are. Amen. You're spiritually blind. Amen. You need the Holy Spirit of God to open your eyes. Amen. To simply put it, you need Jesus. Amen. And you need Him now. And I want to point you to the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of this whole world. And I want you to know what you must do. Because once you're under conviction, once you understand sin, once you understand that God's on His throne and you're way down here, when you're broken and you have a contrite spirit, you must exercise saving faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your faith, your hope, all you have must be surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, we see two roads, two destinations, two pathways. There's a road that looks right, but it leads to death. There's a road that leads to joy, eternal bliss, heaven, where one day I'm going to be able to sing with my family around the throne. But there's another road, and it's easy to travel. Everyone is automatically on the wrong road. In order to get on the right road, there's something you must do. You must repent and you must believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Jesus is the friend of sinners, but He's also the narrow gate. Amen. His command to you tonight is quite simple. Enter the narrow gate. Matthew chapter 7, and I want to begin reading in verse 13. Jesus is closing the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. None of us have ever preached like Jesus. Jesus has clearly told them that this is not a matter of religion. This is a matter of your heart. Our Lord often said very difficult things. This is one of the hardest. Because He's quite simply saying that there's a wrong road leading to hell and most people are going that way. You need to hear Jesus tonight. You need to make sure that you've got a time and a place where you've been born again. Jesus is speaking to religious people, but that makes no difference because it was a religious person who betrayed our Lord, and it was a religious crowd that crucified the Lord. And all through the Sermon on the Mount, the best sermon ever, Jesus has said, the issue is your heart. These people went to synagogue. These people read the scrolls. These people had an outward form of religion, but they were missing it entirely in their hearts. Amen. We've got that today. Amen. A lot of outward appearance, but my friend, unless you enter the narrow gate and been born again, and the Holy Spirit of God has done a work in your heart, you're missing everything. Amen. You need to hear our Lord tonight. These words are in red. He's commanding you. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many, underline that, many, there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Preaching to those religious people, Jesus is basically saying this: religion, church membership, good works mean absolutely nothing if you have never been born again. In 1983, Brother Perrigo preached that people were going to hell in a wheelbarrow, the cheapest form of transportation he could think of. Well, it's 2019, and many people are going to hell in an Uber. What I mean by that is this: going by what some man or what some church tells them. That is absolutely wrong. You've got business to do with God, and the only way you do that is through and in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't rely on anyone telling you you're okay. The Holy Spirit of God lets you know you're okay. Amen. People are going to hell in a wheelbarrow, falling into all kinds of false religion and deception. You go to hell, you're going to be buying one of Satan's lies. Satan's going to tell you, you don't need to do anything tonight. You're fine. He does not have time. He doesn't own time. He's going to tell you, you're a good person. Guess what? The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says that we come out of the womb speaking lies. Forget that. Satan says there's an easy way to lie. Just live it up. Just plant your wild oats and just live however you want. My friend, you do that, and one day you're going to be facing a very difficult situation, because you will be standing in front of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving an answer for everything you've done, everything you've said, everything you've thought, everything that's been in your heart. You don't answer to me. You're going to answer Jesus. You need to know what you're going to say. Satan offers all these things. But you know, aren't you glad for friends? Friends are great. I love my friends. It's good to have them. My dad is my best friend. And I'm not just saying that because he's here. I mean, Jesus and then my dad. Always loved my dad. Had been very close with my dad. But you know, my dad couldn't save me. The most loving thing he could do was tell me and explain to me that I was a sinner needing a Savior, and that I needed to repent and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need friends. You got something hanging out your face, on your nose. You need a friend to tell you what it is, right? Listen, Jesus is the greatest friend you will ever have. And if you're lost, he's telling you and he's warning you because he loves you. And you need to listen to him because he's going to warn you, and the Holy Spirit's going to continue to work on your heart until you are safe from danger. Amen. You're in danger tonight. The Bible says you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Here's the thing. You do nothing, you know what you will be doing. You will be trucking down the ACDC highway. That's what our Lord said. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, in my job, I'm often required to fly. And I remember my first time at the airport. I go into the airport and there's two gates side by side. One says Indianapolis. I said, okay, God's country. Should have got some amens. Come on, some huge... Come on, okay. No, seriously, I was like, here's Indianapolis, and I get in that gate, and I go to Indianapolis, okay? But the one next to it, there's God's country, and right next to it is Sin City, Las Vegas. Well, I won't go there. Here's my point. You're going to have to exercise saving faith and going through this gate. There's two gates and they look similar, and they're laid out somewhat similar, but they go to two very different destinations.
Amen.
There's something very different on the other side of those gates. So I go through security and I've got to take a decisive step into the airplane. Here's what I mean. You put one foot on the airplane, you have one foot on the ramp, you're going nowhere. There comes a time when you must entrust yourself to the airplane. I don't know how it flies, don't know how that works, but you know, praying that God gives safe flight, right? Here's my point. Until you exercise saving faith by completely surrendering and trusting in Christ, you are not going where you want to go. You've got to completely surrender to the Lord. You're going to have to exercise saving faith. You have one foot on Christ. You have one foot on something, anything else, and you have not come all the way to Christ. Amen. If you ever get saved, you're going to have to go all the way to Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't hold back anything. You're going to have to go. Amen. These roads, they may look similar, but they're not. There must be a decisive step of faith. You know, I got to thinking about this. I never had to do this, but if the guy sitting next to me said, put on a parachute, I'd say, why, man? There's no point. Why am I putting a parachute on? But if the captain says, excuse me, we're in a dangerous situation, all of a sudden I'm going to need that parachute. I don't know how the parachute works, but if that plane is going down, I'm going to trust in that parachute, right? Is this making sense? What I'm saying is this. The ruler, the Lord, has said that this plane is going down, and only those who are trusting in Him are going to be safe from doom.
Amen.
You're going to have to trust in Him. You're going to have to lay it all before Him. Now, notice in our text, the first word is enter. Enter. Because you've got to enter means you are not automatically in the kingdom of God. Entering means you're not automatically just saved by virtue of your natural birth. Now, I'm a Hoosier by heart, I guess, somewhat, by birth. But most of my life has been spent in the South, lived in the South. And the South is AKA the Bible Belt. In the South, there are people who think that two Christian parents make a Christian. That doesn't work. Sometimes people tell me that, well, I go to church. You know what I tell them? Please stay out of your garage, lest you become a car. My point is this. People trusting in forms and outward religion with no work in the heart are not saved. They are not Christians. They need to enter the gate.
Amen.
Entering the gate. You're not a Christian until you've entered the gate. You're not a Christian until you've entered into the door of life. You're not a Christian until you've gone to Jesus Christ and He personally has let you know that you are okay. That you're saved. That you're in Him. Eternal life is knowing Him and He's the gate. There's salvation in no other name. For there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. That means this, if you have any hope of heaven, you have to personally know Jesus Christ for yourself.
Amen.
No secondhand, no thirdhand information. You got to go to Him and make it right with Him.
Amen.
Entering the gate. He's the only gate, the only go-between, the only mediator between holy God that we talked about on Sunday night and sinful man we talked on Monday night. You're going to have to go to Him. You're going to have to lay it all out before His feet. You're going to have to recognize that if you go into war with Him, you will lose.
Amen.
He said, he who is not for me is against me. If you are not in Him, He is against you. You need Jesus Christ for you. Jesus, greatest friend you'll ever know. He gave up glory to come to this sinful world to keep the law, the one that we break every single day. He's the one who lived the life that we couldn't. He's the one who did the good that we could not do. He's the one who went to the cross where He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. He took your place. It was for your sins He died. It was for your lying and your cheating and your stealing. You're disobeying your parents. Everything that God's law we looked at Monday night told you not to do. There's sins that you don't do. There's sins that you should do and you sin because you don't do them. There's just one sin, my friend, and you are a sinner. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, His wrath is on you already. The more you harden your heart, Romans chapter 2 says, the more you are storing up wrath for the day of wrath. You say, what's that mean? The more truth you're exposed to, the more you reject it and refuse it, the harder you make your own heart, the hotter, my friend, hell is going to be for you. You need to do business with the Lord tonight. He's the only way you're going to get saved. entering the gate requires dying to yourself. Oftentimes, growing up, the message that was often told me, consider the cost. Consider the cost. You're going to have to consider the cost. Why? Because there is nothing in this life, there is nothing you can do to ever earn favor with God that is sufficient to save your soul. You got nothing to offer. You have nothing to bring. You're going to have to lay it all before Him and say, God, I come before You just as I am. Please, God, save me. And when you do, and you lay it all before Him, and you trust Him from the bottom of your heart that He will save you, He will.
Amen.
The more you reject Him, the harder this thing is going to be. Entering the gate is not all that easy. You say, but salvation is a free gift. Yes, it is. But to humble yourself, to recognize that you have sinned, to recognize that you're a sinner, to understand that there is nothing you can possibly do to save yourself, that is very hard. I mean, let me just ask you, many times the question is asked, why do you make salvation so hard? It's not a matter of hard or easy. We're talking about something impossible that is only accomplished through the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know, you that have been saved, how hard was it for you to die to yourself, to surrender to the Lord, to give everything up and just completely trust in Him? I don't know about you, that was kind of difficult for me. I had to strive to enter the gate. There was a lot of soul searching. There was a lot of conviction. That conviction was so strong, I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I didn't want to hear what the preacher said. I tuned him out. But you know what? The Word of God is alive. We're not just reading words. We're reading something that, when accompanied by the Holy Spirit, pierces even the hardest of hearts.
Amen.
That will melt the hardest heart. That will get a hold of the hardest and the worst of sinners. I'm thankful for the survival. I got to spend some time with my grandpa today, and it was a good time. And here's the thing. You've sinned. You know you have. Come on. Anybody not really want to admit that they're a sinner tonight? I mean, we better say we're saints. But listen, if you have sinned, it makes you a sinner. We've sinned and fallen short. And the Bible clearly says this. You want to be that foolish? The foolish shall not stand before Him. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to lay it all out before Him. You're going to have to go to Him believing and confessing with godly sorrow that you have sinned against the Holy God, that it was your sins that put Him upon the cross, that He died for you, that you don't deserve it, that you're unworthy, that you are a wretched, vile sinner who deserves hell. But I tell you what, when you go to Him like that and you turn it all over to Him, He'll save you like that.
Amen.
We're talking about the power of God tonight.
Amen.
Has that happened to you? Have you been born again? Let me just ask you. Do you have a personal experience with the Lord?
Amen.
Have you been born again by the Holy Spirit of God? Has the life of God entered your soul?
Amen.
Has it changed you? Are you a new creature? Did anything happen when you say you came to Christ? Because I tell you, if your life wasn't radically changed, then you just never entered the gate. You missed it. You took a wrong turn. The GPS had the wrong exit and sign. I don't know. But if your heart was not changed, you didn't get it. For someone to claim to be a Christian while living in unrepentant, unconfessed sin is a contradiction of terms. Because while we mess up, the Holy Spirit of God convicts us and shows us that we need to get back in line.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, even in our missionary Baptist churches, and I'm saying this as missionary Baptists as they come, there are people who say that they entered the gate, but there's no change in their life. There is no fruit. There is no evidence of any kind of salvation. They go their whole lives and we wonder what in the world's wrong. They leave us because they were never of us. The truth is that they just never entered the gate. Why are we at where we're at? I'm telling you, we need to preach it harder, brothers. Because unless that heart is changed, you can have a name on a church roll and your name will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I want a scripture and verse for that. John chapter 3 and verse 8. Oh yeah. John chapter 3 and 5. You must be born again. I believe in that doctrine because I've experienced that doctrine for myself. And if I've read history correctly, it was the doctrine that changed America. The Great Awakening. The problem is many of us as missionary Baptists, grown-up missionary Baptists, we've fallen asleep to it. There's power in the new birth.
Amen.
That's what we need desperately. John chapter 3 and verse 8. Good to see a friend tonight. I'm going to read Brother Reynolds' translation of this verse because it makes a whole lot more sense. The Holy Spirit breathes where He wishes, and you can hear His voice, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who's been born of the Spirit. I'm asking now, has that happened to you? You're going to have to enter this gate. You say, well, how do I enter this gate? You back up and you read this scripture. Jesus said, blessed are they who are poor in spirit. Have you ever been poor in your spirit? What's that mean? Recognizing you have nothing to offer God, but He's got everything. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. You know, and the older I get, the more I like this. Because you know what meek means? It don't mean weak. Meek refers to what they did to horses. You talk about a strong, powerful animal, and yet they had to crush him and his will until he was useful to the master. That's exactly what happened in the new birth when I got saved.
Amen.
There's a part of me that died on that altar, but there's another part that came alive in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, no longer living for myself. Why? Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, been bought with a price. How can we ever live however we want to when He owns us? He does. We're His. Either He is your Lord or He's not your Lord at all. People say, well, is it hard? Is it easy? You know, that rich man, he came to Jesus. And the disciples, I imagine, standing there, they were like, oh, yeah, we need that guy up in the church. You know, he's got the money. He's got the power. He's got a reputation. He needs to be saved. He said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus does what we generally don't do. He said, oh, yeah, just keep the law. Keep the law? Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I've done that my whole life. Really? Just go sell all you got and come on after me. Man went away very sorrowful. Here's my point. Many people hear about Jesus. They get their toes right up to the gate, but they fail to surrender it all and turn it all over to Him, and they go away very sad. There's some who try to justify some kind of religious experience. Try to make it sound like something that's real, but you know how you know? Jesus said, you judge a tree by the fruits. Wicked fruit, wicked root. No fruit, no root. Somebody's been up to the gate. You know, gate sometimes, Chris was bothering me this morning, this afternoon. He said, did you ever think you'd see your name in the lights? I'm like, no, I really don't want to see my name in the lights. But sometimes gates light up, right? Some gates have lights on them so you can see them. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate your dark heart and your dark mind. And the more you see the light of Jesus Christ, the more you're going to be exposed to your own personal sins. And the more that you're exposed to your own personal sins, the worse this thing is going to feel. The worse this is going to feel. Why? Because you've got two options. You can either reject the light and turn from the light, or you can run to the light and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Why don't people come to light? This is the verdict. Light came into the world, but they refused to come to light. Why? Because people's deeds are evil. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to recognize that and run to the gate. Run through the gate. Here's the deal. You can grow up in church, and you can see the gate, and you can hear about the gate, and you can know a lot of stuff about the gate. But my friend, if you have never entered the gate, you are lost.
Amen.
You're lost. How do you enter the gate? You've got to be born again. Jesus said, repent and believe. Turn from your sins and turn to Him. Well, what do I need to repent from? Anybody ever gone and had MRI done? Kind of shows what's kind of underneath the surface. That's God's law. God's law is the MRI that will reveal the sinfulness of your own heart. It'll show you that you've offended a holy God and that you need to be saved. You don't have to take this preacher's word for it. Read the book for yourself. You lied, you stolen, you cheated. I mean, we can go on. Do you love God more than anything else in your life? Do you? Then you've sinned. The disciples asked, are there few that be saved? That rich man, he turned around very sorrowfully. The disciples said, well, if that man can't get saved, then who can be saved? And I love this. Jesus said, with man, with us, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Anybody that's been saved tell you, they couldn't do it. God did it. You see that MRI, you know that you're sinned against God. You feel the conviction in your heart. You know that you need to be saved. You need to run to the gate. Here's the deal about God. God is so holy, He will not look at sin. He especially will not allow sin in His presence. He will not allow sin into heaven. And as our brother said before the prayer tonight, the very truth is this. Hell is for real. And people who are not saved really go there. And I am warning you tonight, through the inerrant, infallible, totally sufficient word of God, that unless you repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ and experience a new birth, you will go there. I cannot make it any more evident than that. I cannot make it any clearer than directions than that. This is what Jesus said. If God sends you there, do you realize you deserve to go there? When you realize you've sinned, ask Him to show you. Okay, the preacher said I've sinned. God, will you show me? I'll tell you what, you get before God and you ask Him where you stand with Him. You ask Him about your sins. You ask Him where you're going to go when you die. And I guarantee you, He will show you. Amen. To those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, our Lord does not mince with words. He makes it very, very, very clear. He lived a perfect life for you. He went to the cross to save you. He died for you. He rose again for you. Why would you reject it? Why would you turn from Him? If you could just somehow know how great it is to come to Christ. You know, people say, well, that Christian life, that's just they have no fun. That's just dopey. You know what's hard? Is living a life in sin. What's hard is living your life planting seeds of sin, just praying for crop failure. Bible says, do not be deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. Amen. Living for Jesus is the good life. Amen. Living for the Lord is the best life there is. Actually, you've never even come to live until you have experienced this new birth. Search for the gate. Turn from your sins. Trust in the gate. By the fact that it's narrow, simply means this. There is no A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3. You know, people do that in church today. Do you acknowledge? Do you believe? Do you confess? Do you repeat this? Do you say this? My friend, there is not a prayer and the words of a prayer that you can repeat that's going to save you. You are going to have to call out from God from the bottom of your heart, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He's going to have to hear you. That acknowledge, believe, confess stuff? No. It's repent and believe. Should you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Absolutely. Should you believe that there's a Lord? Absolutely. Should you confess that you've sinned? Absolutely. But it's going to have to get a little more personal than that. You're going to have to turn from your sins and completely trust Him by entering the narrow gate. Amen. So much false religion around us. You're going to have to exercise faith. Faith is simply this: forsaking all, I trust Him. God, I don't have anything, but I give You all that I got. I'm laying it all out before You. It's not a matter of hard or easy. It's a matter of have you been to the Lord. It's a matter of have you called upon His name. For His word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call and He will answer you. And you will know when He's answered you, because there will be a life in your soul that had not been there before. That condemnation, that conviction, that guilt over your sins, like the brother said, that 100,000 pound weight that was lifted up. Amen, I got that too. But you know what? You can be absolutely spiritually foolish and say, what sin? I have no sin. You're going to have to get real. You're going to have to search your soul. You're going to have to ask the Lord where you stand with Him. Amen. Why do you need to enter the gate? Quite simply, you need to enter the gate because the greatest problem you have right now is God. The greatest problem in your life, if you are not saved, is not the preacher who's long-winded. Do not make fun of long-winded preachers. You might become one or married to one. I don't know which one is worse. I'm trying to tell you very clearly, very plainly, that the greatest problem in your life, if you are not saved, is a holy God whose wrath is upon you. As God. You need to be saved from your sins so that you can be made right, reconciled back to God. Amen. And you know all of your sins can be forgiven except that sin of unbelief. You absolutely say, that has nothing to do with me. That preacher was not talking to me. That scripture had nothing to do with me. And you will die lost and you'll go to hell because you are automatically on the broad way, going the broad path, going the broad way. It's broad because everybody is automatically on it. By one man's offense, sin entered the world and death by sin. When Adam broke God's command, he messed it all up for all of us. But it's not just that we inherit a sinful nature, it's that we in fact do sin. And the only way that you can make that right is by going to Christ and entering the gate, having saving faith in Him. You know, I love that part about Scripture. You know, all have sinned, all broke God's law, all have need to be saved, all died in Adam. But here's the beautiful thing. If you will exercise saving faith and trust in the gate, all can find life in Christ. Yeah, we've all messed up. Yeah, we've all sinned. But you come to Christ and you repent and you throw everything you got at Him and you believe in Him, you trust in Him, and He will save you. Amen. You're going to have that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Where? How? In Jesus Christ. You are either in Christ or you're in Adam. You are either in sin or you are in Christ. You know, we used to play, what's that game, Twister? And you put one arm here and the other arm here and you end up in knots. You will fall flat on your face. Both feet in Christ. All that you are in Christ. Do nothing. You know what will happen? Hell will just enlarge in itself. Don't be confused. Please don't be confused. If there is a confession, but there is no possession, it's nothing. You know, all around us, there are churches. And they point people to the broad way. They say, it does not matter what you believe. You know, that stuff about godly sorrow and conviction and all that, that's just old school stuff. I mean, nobody believes that way anymore. Nobody goes that way anymore. You know what? You absolutely do have to have conviction. You absolutely do have to have godly sorrow. Right. Your heart absolutely does have to be broken. No, that's not old school. That's Bible. Right. I don't care about the size of the church. I care about the truth. Wolves, false teachers were in Jesus' day, and guess what? They are in our day. That's what it says right here as we go into chapter 7. Why? There's people prophesying for Jesus, You know, it's sad. We got to protect our kids from things out in the world. It's even sadder today. We got to protect them from some of the things that's going in pulpits. He that has an ear, let him hear. It's sad. There's false prophets even amongst us as a people. The end will bear that out. What I'm saying is this. We're not outside of this. This is here. People professing to have Jesus, and they don't. Their hearts are empty. Their souls are empty. There's no love for Christ. There's no love for His Word. There's no interest in holiness. There's no pursuit in living in godliness. There's no love for righteousness. There's no love for... My friend, they need to enter the gate. These false churches say, you know what? I'm okay and you're okay. You know, you got the Joel Osteen and the Benny Hinn's. Smile. God loves you. His wrath is on you if you're unsaved. The very moment the Holy Spirit of God convicts your soul, you need to make things right with Him. All around us, we see people wanting faith with no fruit. We see people wanting heaven without holiness. We see people wanting church membership without regeneration. And you know, it just simply does not work that way. So let me just close this message. Have you entered the gate for yourself? You've heard about the gate tonight. Do you see any need to enter the gate? Your toes are right up to the gate. Let me just ask you, what's preventing you from entering the gate? What sin holds you back from entering Christ? Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass and new things come. John said, if the love of the world is in him, the love of the Father isn't in him. So I ask you, kind of like Adrian Peterson commercial, what's in you? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Have you been changed? Have you entered the gate? Here's the very solemn reality, and this should wake us up if we have trouble with being tired this week. One day there are people, and they will be standing before the Lord, and they will have gone to church, they will have read the Bible, and Jesus is going to very clearly and very bluntly say, depart, I do not know you. That should scare us as a people. That should wake us up as a people for those who... What I'm saying is this, is we need to enter the gate. Let me ask you, you with hard hearts, what will it take for you to enter in the gate? If you've heard the gospel your whole life and you have never been saved, what's it going to take for you to enter the gate? Come to Christ, and when you come, you must come on His terms. You're going to have to forsake it all. You're going to have to surrender to Him. Have you entered the gate tonight? Like Moses, I stand before you. There's life, and there's death. Why not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and you'll be saved? Go to Him believing. Go to Him confessing. I pray that this will get in, that you'll hear this message. Not because I said it, because this is the words in red. You're going to have godly sorrow. Nobody's going to come chomping their bubble gum. You're going to have, the Holy Spirit is going to have to crush your heart and crush your will and make you recognize that you've sinned against Him. And when you do, there will be mourning, there will be weeping, whether you physically ever cry or not. Because it's with the heart that you're going to have to believe. While we get a song, The devil's not your friend tonight. Jesus Christ is your friend. Your friend saying, come to me. Your friend, you better listen to him. Jesus Christ is making you the greatest offer that you will ever hear. You can be saved. You do not have to go to the day of judgment wondering about this or kind of interested in this. You can do business with him tonight. Will you come? Will you enter the gate? I've tried to preach about the gate. Derek preached it last night about the gate. He didn't call it the gate, but he preached the beauty of the gospel. Your faith is going to have to be in what Jesus Christ has done for you. I pray that you enter the gate tonight.